This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and thank you for staying with us. I'm Koo Soo Chuang with Shazana Mokhtar and Wong Shaoning. For many of you who are feeling nostalgic, do you remember this clip? Wow, you know when I heard that a couple of days ago when it was like going viral on WhatsApp, I was so nostalgic and I was feeling so sad. Then my wife said to me, oh, you know, you're pusing kaki, I'm pusing kaki, right? She said, oh, you know, I really miss those days. Who would have thought, right?
It has been an entire year, more than a year, since many of us have actually been to an airport and traveled. However, Phuket reopened to tourists for the first time in a year last Friday. So the newly introduced sandbox program allows vaccinated tourists to visit the island without quarantine, although masks must still be worn when in public places. Tourists will need to provide proof of a COVID-19 negative test before stepping foot on the island and will be tracked on the island via an app they must download upon arrival.
Now, this initiative is open to 63 countries. Malaysia is, by the way, excluded and rated by Thailand as low or medium risk for COVID-19. And if this proves successful, the initiative will be expanded to Koh Samui, Koh Phangan and Koh Tao as the island Thailand aims to fully reopen its borders by October this year. Now, last weekend, we also saw the EU roll out its digital COVID certificate across 27 member countries, and the pass in principle allows its holders to be exempted from testing or quarantine when crossing international borders.
So what do vaccine passports and travel schemes or bubbles mean for us within this region? For these answers and more, we're turning now to Brendan Sobey, the independent analyst at Sobey Aviation. Thank you for joining us, Brendan. Now, would it be challenging for countries to agree to a digital vaccination passport as different countries accept different vaccines?
Yeah, it has been challenging so far and it continues to be challenging, and we haven't seen much adoption of vaccine passports since they started rolling out several months ago. The EU is obviously a good example, but the EU has a bit of an advantage, being a very established association of countries, which is essentially one domestic market in many respects, because there are no borders within the EU. So compared to, say, ASEAN, where it's a much different scheme and the borders are certainly in place, it's harder to implement something like this or even facilitate the reopening. But it's not impossible to recognize vaccines. You really just have to recognize the WHO list rather than just only the vaccines in your own country. So it is possible, but I think there's a lot of other challenges as well that have so far really slowed down the implementation of vaccine passports. Part of the issue is there's a lot of solutions out there. IATA has their own solution, which is one of the more popular ones, but there's also like 10 other solutions that are being trialed and are available, and there's really no consensus behind any one particular solution, and there's countries are just really not talking to each other very much about this. Instead, they're just kind of doing it their own thing in a unilateral way, but unfortunately that means it makes it much harder on a multilateral basis, the exception of the EU.
When do you think countries will actually start talking to each other to consolidate all these different vaccine passport initiatives? What's your outlook for that?
Well, I mean, I wish I had a good guess on that. It's really completely the ball's in the court of the governments in this case. So people in the aviation and travel industries, they can do everything they can to lobby the governments and do everything they can to kind of trial these solutions. And that has been happening, but it's really up to the governments to make this a priority and to put in place these solutions. And it just hasn't happened yet. And it might never happen in some cases. So we might have, individual solutions or more manual kind of solutions in many countries, because many countries might not be willing to actually go down this road. So it's unfortunate, but that's where we are right now.
Yeah, as a result of this, we are beginning to see these, what I would call travel bubbles, right? But do you think these travel bubbles actually really work at the end of the day?
Yeah, well, the travel bubble is this concept that came out over a year ago, which is basically you just link two very specific countries with very specific measures in place to make sure the travel between those two countries is safe. And so it came out way before vaccines, really just testing was used. And the idea was two countries of low, high containment, low case numbers. And after over a year, there's just a few examples of these bubbles, and all of them have actually had setbacks. So the Hong Kong-Singapore example never happened, or hasn't happened yet. It came close twice, but got delayed because of rising case numbers in each country, first time in Hong Kong, then in Singapore more recently. And then you have Australia and New Zealand, which talked about a bubble for a year, finally did something a couple of months ago, but that has also stopped and started several times due to case issues in different parts of Australia. And then the other example is Palau, Taiwan, which is a very small example, also hasn't been very successful and is also very tiny. So bubbles, there's still a little bit of talk about them, but I think we're kind of moving on from that a little bit as well. We're talking more about, I would say, a general reopening, like the Phuket plan, which is not really a travel bubble. The Phuket sandbox is a general reopening to the eligible travelers. So you have to be vaccinated and you have to be from a certain list of country, a certain country on this list, but it's not a bubble. It's not a bubble. It's like a bilateral thing where two countries actually have to, do a lot of work in negotiating, putting in place these frameworks. So I kind of think we're moving on, kind of beyond this bubble concept after a year of basically no successes. And even though we still might see a few, I think we're moving on and really more towards this general reopening kind of strategy, which will be gradual, won't be like a full swing the doors open, but at least a gradual kind of reopening like we have now in Phuket.
Yeah, Brendan, in terms of your consultancy, I'm not sure you do a lot of advice to airlines and airline operators and, people within the industry as well. The future is going to be one which seems to be full of friction, in terms of the future of aviation. How, if at all, will this friction be reduced?
Yeah, that's another difficult question, but not easy to answer. But I think the key thing here is that during this crisis, the industry has worked, well together to try to ensure that airlines stay in business, and despite this, a huge decline in revenues and a decline in traffic that's in Southeast Asia, 97% of international traffic. That's the decline figure we still have even now, 15 months into this crisis. And domestic traffic is also down, in nearly every Southeast Asian market by at least 80% because of the current situation, which is lagging behind the global norms. So there is a lot of, everybody's in crisis mode. There is a lot of friction, in terms of, with the governments, trying to get the governments to do more in terms of support, in terms of getting these vaccine passports, in terms of reopening travel, or at least having a roadmap towards a reopening, which you kind of have one now in Singapore, but you don't have much one, and you have a bit of one in Thailand, but you don't really have any in the rest of Southeast Asia yet. So I think, the key thing here is just airlines need to, be patient. And really the industry needs to work together and the governments need to work more with airlines and with the sector in order to successfully overcome this unprecedented crisis.
Okay, Brendan, in the little bit of time that we have, I just want to get your quick thoughts on whether this Phuket sandbox program can be replicated elsewhere in the region. Like, for example, in Malaysia, do you see somewhere like Langkawi following the footsteps of Phuket and opening to these select travelers that are vaccinated?
Yes, I mean, it's certainly a concept that everyone is looking at very closely right now. I mean, Bali was looking at it and hoping to actually initially do something similar like later this month, although now that's been delayed because of the spike in cases in Indonesia. And Langkawi is also looking to do this. Doesn't have as ambitious as a time frame, so they're looking to do this, in September. So that is definitely possible, but one has to keep in mind that this is just a start. It's not like a full reopening. Even if you look at the 60 countries that Thailand program is open to, most of those countries, like for example Singapore, they haven't reopened their borders themselves. So there's real ability for people from a lot of these countries to go. Because they can't come back easily, because of the quarantine restrictions coming back, even for vaccinated travelers. But it's a start, and a lot of it is aimed at like Europe in particular, somewhat the Middle East and the US as well. And that's where these initial travelers are coming from, Phuket, because those countries do have programs in place where vaccinated travelers can come back, without any quarantine. So Langkawi will kind of hopefully match that in a few months, and then we can gradually reopen and finally everybody can travel again.
Okay, Brendan. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time and your thoughts. That was Brendan Sobey, the independent aviation analyst at Sobey Aviation. Now, obviously, lots of headwinds for the aviation industry. Just don't know where to begin.
That's right. And I just want to draw your attention to the Phuket Sandbox program. There was a little bit of a glitch because the Prime Minister of Thailand did contract COVID while he was there. He was exposed to a businessman who had COVID. So now he's under isolation. So it's not smooth sailing. You know, they're still going to have to deal with what happens if cases rise in Phuket, for example.
Good Lord. Okay. Yet another nail of that. I just don't want to call it a death nail for aviation, but there's just so many things militating against it.
Yeah, there are just so many roadblocks, and it's going to be a challenge. And, you know, it's communicating between governments, airlines, and the entire tourism industry. Challenging times ahead.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.